This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome
to our show.
Now we're going to start and do it right.
It's got to be funky.
Look what I found.
There's plenty for everyone.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike!
Josh Schroeder,
Josh!
And Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob.
It's only the beginning.
And now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Wednesday. We are so glad you popped in, and we hope you're going to enjoy the next hour and a half with us because we like being with you. And I will tell you something that I continue to do the best handiwork that a person can do in their home. And I take you back to maybe, I want to say at the very least it was 6 months ago, but in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
I moved my chair, my favorite chair. A lot of men have their chair, favorite recliner.
I thought you lost your chair.
No, I kept my chair, and I moved my recliner into the front space, the little sitting room that we have in our house. And
it's like
Carl
a parlor.
It's a parlor. That's exactly what it's like. But it's not, I don't own the house. I don't own a house that would have a parlor.
No, it's not. By definition, I think it's a parlor, although that's ill named. You know, I don't think they use the phrase. It's like master bedroom. You just don't say it anymore.
The parlor.
The parlor.
But it really feels right. When you say parlor, it feels right.
Well, because it's a great area for entertaining. First time I was there, we sat in the parlor and had a drink.
Big armoire bar in there that, you know, I hardly ever use, to be honest with you. I don't use the...
Mike.
And I'm sitting in there with the recliner and chatting with Carla months ago. And we had slid the recliner across the floor into the parlor, up against the wall next to the bar, the armoire bar. Do you know what I'm saying with an armoire bar? It's a freestanding cabinet that has shelves and booze
like
in it.
A dining room cabinet.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's
what
China
it's like.
A China cabinet. Now, Mike, I know we've probably been down this road before, but as a furniture guy, I feel I must ask, what is the brand of your recliner? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Is it a Barca lounger? Is it a Lazy Boy?
It might be Natuzzi.
Oh, that is leather. It's a high-end leather
Pretty sure it's Natuzzi.
Is it gray?
I'm pretty sure it's gray.
That I kind of remember it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's comfy. A gray. God, how do you remember that?
I'm furniture.
Why can't you use that brain for good?
Mike, I'm using it for good right now.
Okay. The Natuzzi was in the corner, and I remember we're having a conversation, and it was, I forgot what it was about, but it was not ultra pleasant. We were in there like talking about Michael's behavior or something negative like that, where I was not really paying attention. And as I put the recliner open, as I press the little button, I hear and I didn't think anything of it.
Happened once before?
No, this was the first time.
I thought you destroyed a phone.
There was a phone in your recliner at once.
That was the phone. The greatest sound Rob ever came up with was the sound of the phone cracking inside the recliner. This is the same recliner that did that damage, though.
Okay.
That is the same recliner. Now, not to be confused with the furniture that replaced the recliner, which does not destroy phones, but it eats phones, it eats remotes. It eats full-size laptop computers.
Yep.
Yes. It eats pens, glasses, credit cards, wallets, anything you can
You name it.
And as a child, we had a couch like that, and I would love it because my dad would lose cash in that couch all the time.
Quarters.
Find dollar bills, quarters, all the time.
As we say in New England, it's a defect, not a defect. It's a defect. And it was...
Would you ever lose anything that you bought at the Packy?
The package store. I look behind me, and I have board a wall hole, the likes of which is, you know, it is probably
so you reclined
5 inches
into the wall.
By 3 inches. I opened, and there was just no resistance. It just smashed right into the wall, and it's been there. The hole's been there. And, you know, and then what did I do? Well, I slid the recliner right up in front of it. We never used that room anyway, right. And I just left it.
And but now you can go back an extra inch.
The task has been over the last couple of weeks to get it going. And,
so to clarify, you yes. knew that the damage had been done,
uh-huh.
and you just sort of backburnered it because yeah. you didn't
want
to.
For a long time, he said as he swallowed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like hanging a picture over a hole.
It is
a little
it's
bit,
the same,
yeah.
like the Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, my hole
trying
is
trying to escape.
My my hole is bigger
Looked
than
out.
The Shawshank Redemption hole.
Okay,
you know you can lean over it and go.
Michael can climb through.
Michael Barrett climbed through 150 yards of filth. But it was. I always forget the amount of yardage that it was. Was it 300 yards of filth? Of foulness.
I think it was 200 because I'll look out. I'll find it out.
Andy Dufresne crawled through 300 yards of
500
foulness.
Yards.
No.
That's what it says. It says 500 yards, just under half a mile.
Boy, just wow. under half a mile.
Five football fields for Andy Dufresne.
Five football fields for Andy Dufresne. Then he was free.
Yeah.
That means he can hardly read.
No, he can read just
combining
fine.
Movies. So yesterday, the last couple of days has been acquiring the right product. Mm-hmm. I have a, I don't know what the names of the tools are, but I have the big wide thing that you can spackle.
Putty knife.
Putty knife.
Yeah, big one, though, a big flat, yeah. long yeah. one. I mm-hmm. got a smaller one because the big one makes it hard to get the little patching compound out
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
So here's what's wonderful. And this is the whole point of me saying, because I'm always out for consumers. To improve their lives.
Thank you, Mike.
Because that's how I roll. I want people to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I got this wall patch, and when I bought it at the Mart of Wall,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get to them later. I'll get to that shithole later.
So there's layers right. to this story.
Like a wall patch.
Yeah.
Was this a sticker patch or something that goes inside the wall?
This is two different stores. I went to the Sunshine San Carlos Ace Hardware store. Fine outfit.
Is that the one that you've always established? I know you yes. love Ace Hardware down
yes.
there. So
they
that's your
have,
home store.
To be honest with you, last year or two, little slippage.
Oh,
yeah, and right now they're in the middle of a remodel,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what they give a shit about.
Well,
they don't give a shit about Ace, consumers. Yes, go ahead.
The problem with Ace is they have one solution for your problem,
mm-hmm.
maybe two. So they'll have what you need,
but
they don't
have one
options.
Flavor, right?
Yes.
And
yeah,
that's
but Ace is the place for the helpful hardware store. They'll help you out. No matter
helpful
what.
Did you hardware. Have to? Did you have to? Any yeah. self-discipline about
and,
that?
And didn't you get it wrong?
Isn't yes,
Ace is the place for the helpful
it's
hardware
the
what?
Man.
I thought it was face. Because I thought it rhymed with place.
Ace is the place for the helpful hardware, man.
I think it's man. I stand
Maybe it's
corrected.
Man. It's
yeah.
definitely not store.
No.
The patch, I got a little, it's a sticker that goes on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and it's mesh, and you put the compound on top of it. It didn't stick.
Mm.
So when I went to do my spackling today, I was able to get away with it because there was enough glue, shit, inadequate glue on the back that I was able to at least get the compound over. And if you can get the compound over it, you don't need the stick'em
anymore. How about how deep right. is this hole, this crevasse?
Well, it's the size of a hole in drywall. How thick yeah. is drywall?
So it went all the way through. I thought it was just a dent.
Of course it went all the way through. What was I just saying? Did you listen to the show?
Well, yeah, Mike, I listened to every episode.
Yeah, but you know the color of the recliner, but you didn't listen to I said it was a 5-inch by 3-inch, and it was a hole that you could see like Andy Dufresne. What is the main thing about Andy Dufresne? They look through the hole because he climbed through it. Of course it went through.
He just made a dent in his prison wall.
Yes. Okay. Andy what Dufresne I was envisioning carved was out a dent and smashed his head and got caught by the authorities. Never escaped.
I was envisioning a dent. I'm sorry. That I was seeing what I wanted.
No, went all the way through. It was horrible.
That's bad.
I mean, right. Really, if I hadn't hidden it, it would have been embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of, I think a lot of houses have little things that if you didn't cover them up, it would be an embarrassment. Sure. You know, and people would see it and all that. So
especially with kids.
Because kids trash a house. Yeah. They always do. And then when you have a dog, a Boston Terrier, that, considers the entire domicile his fucking toilet.
Is there any chance he could use the hole?
Could he shit in the hole?
No, not a chance unless he jumped up on the recliner.
Hey, you know who'd love the hole is your snake. Jake could get in the hole and live within the wall.
So this patching compound that I purchased, mm-hmm. Here's the cool thing. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this, but it goes on pink and it dries. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Goes on pink and dries white?
Dries white. Yeah. So you pretty know when it's dry. Cool, you know right? when it's ready to be sanded.
Is it the DAP brand? I've used this before.
No, it is not DAP. I know that DAP makes it. But that's a big. Yeah, congratulations. Yes. It's a very popular product. DAP is a very, very popular product. It really mm-hmm. is. It's DAP.
It's the Cadillac of wall patches. It's DAP.
It is. I thought it was DAP for that pink to white stuff.
You know what? There was DAP in the aisle. I don't think this is the DAP product.
Did you choose a product that was similar to DAP but perhaps less costly?
This is great DAPage. The Walmart brand. So the DAP is still pink in the very center where the deepest part of the hole mm-hmm. is, that is still white. I did a little sanding around the outside and I said, it's coming off too easily. I got to wait till it really dries. Yeah. And I probably have to put just a little tiny layer.
Do you know how
you
speed that up?
How do you do? A hair dryer.
Your hair dryer.
There it is.
Take the hair dryer off the hook.
I'm Mr. Handy. I know all the answers. I do.
But you'd have to really hold a hand dryer. You know, it'd be better as a fan. Put a fan on
a hair dryer. No, a hair dryer. A fan wouldn't be hot.
You don't hold it much because it's the heat of the hairdryer.
I think that a slow cure might be better in this case.
No, you're making that up. You're pulling that out of your ass. You don't believe that.
I do.
For a second.
I do. I don't think you don't want to heat it up.
You're just opening your mouth and seeing what comes out. The heat is what dries it.
Like
airflow. Airflow would dry it.
No.
Hair dryer.
Okay, you know what the problem is? I'm just jealous because I don't have a hairdryer because I don't need one.
No, a lot of times professionals will use the heat gun to dry it so then they can paint it right away in a couple hours.
In hardware stores, they actually have a super hot version of a hair dryer.
I've got one.
You've got one of those that really heats things.
It'll burn you.
You don't think his hair just happens, do you?
Right. How do you think it stays up?
Burns a few strands every time he's doing his hair.
The smell, you can always tell when he's bathing.
Was the hole big enough that you had to use a screen when applying the spigot? That is correct.
Yes. Yeah,
that's what I said, Dirk. I put the mesh. Screen mesh on top mm-hmm. of it, and I am awaiting the completion of the drying process to see whether I need to put a little more sparkle or I wait and just.
Josh, have you ever done the old school repair on a wall hole where you actually put like a piece of wood behind it or cardboard behind it instead of the mesh
and a new sheet of drywall?
I'm going to
many times because sometimes it's too large for the
patch. It is too large. We had a hole in our house for years that I finally fixed. It was just cardboard. I put it behind it. I actually put it on the wall with a piece of tape on the other side.
Yep.
I took a picture of the wall and I'm going to send it to Josh because it is a particular type of texture and I never knew that this would work.
Florida homes are a pain because they texture the wall, they texture the ceiling, everything's textured.
Yeah, spackle.
And so this is called, I found this out because there's a product that's out there that's going to make this job, I think, perfectamundo. We have the wall paint. We have a little bit
of
the wall
paint. Is it leftover from the build? Or?
It's leftover from the repaint they did right before we moved in.
Have you checked to make sure it's still liquid?
No.
I went to do a repair and I had the paint that the guys had left behind when they painted our house. And when I opened it, there was a soda can and some Fez food wrappers.
Yes,
they had just used it for trash and then closed it.
But then you can still take that can and get the match.
That's what I'm going to try to do is get the match if I need to.
Here's your wall.
There it is.
And that is the same texture I have on my wall.
It's called orange peel.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's
and
nice.
So here's the product I found. Yeah, the product, the spray can that has the texture. And
I haven't tried it, but I've seen it.
I'll probably be trying it before you will, and I'll let you know whether that works out. Because that I'm going to get done with the sanding, and then I will just spray that on there, and hopefully everything will work out.
Is there anything more Florida than a wall called orange peel?
Orange peel texture.
It's better than what you guys have up north with the popcorn ceilings.
Oh, I don't like that.
That I hate.
Yeah,
the all my ceilings are smooth. They're very smooth. They're a little soft. You don't want to hit them because they're smooth.
That's a radio team that was on one of the, what was this format? I think it was a modern country format. Soft and smooth.
You know who would be good on that?
Soft and smooth.
Who would be good on that station is Alex Miller.
Alex Miller would be fantastic on that if you remember yesterday's show. And congratulations if you do. Think
they don't need congratulations. They've already been rewarded.
The key is to press it down after you spray it in. I don't understand, Jimmy. I'm really trying.
I think the orange peel spray.
Mm-hmm.
You spray it, and then there's a thing where you flatten it. Because it's not going to get those big clumps of orange peel unless you flatten it.
So how do you flatten paint?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I've just seen the product.
You know what might be effective is to just do the best you can with the orange peel and then put your chair in front of it again.
And there they go. Somebody never waits. Nate Dog says, smooth for those with a 136 IQ.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like we go a day without somebody mentioning that 136 IQ.
Well, there's a lot of jealous people, a lot of jealous, stupid people like Nate.
But I thought it was 135.
No, it was 136.
It was 136, Josh. Right. Come on, get it
I just
it
want
right.
to make sure we're not increasing it.
Right.
Let me just move on now. So I'll let you know what the finished product is. I have to share this with you that when the boys are right, the boys are right. And I know we spent some time on it. We are not a promotional arm of Apple TV. We are not. But
we'll
when you
got to
say something, yeah, we certainly would.
Yep.
When you want to say something good about Ted Lasso, coming back after a few years, both Rob and Josh were giving it a full-out rave yesterday on the show, and I am here to pile on and say absolutely 100%. And
I watched the second episode last night.
I've watched both episodes, and I'm going to say this about the entire Enterprise. It is not... Suspension of disbelief is required because it is a little jive and it is very broad. But at the same time, I don't know what formula they have hit on to bring out humanity and bring the kindness of the world into one little sitcom. It is so moving to me. It is
every
so
character.
Every
warm.
Character
it's a very
is
warm sitcom. It
touching.
Really is. Yeah.
And it is, it's just. Hard to describe how much we need that and how it makes me feel. I get emotional almost every episode because it's just so sweet and kind and nice. And they've done a great transition into a storyline to get us back to Richmond, England.
I'm
and
all in.
I love it. It's
Could
great.
You believe how big his son was?
I didn't even process that. I really
so
didn't, because I don't remember the son being that part
from
of
the,
that
from,
big
he
a part.
He came over to England in season one. He talked to him a lot. But when he got into talking to his son and talking about his father, it'd been a while since I'd been struck, and it hits you when you don't expect it. It did make me cry.
The
it
one
made
character,
me cry. The dad action really did.
The
me.
One character who I have a little problem with is the assistant coach.
The new one?
The old one.
Nathan.
With all the hair. He's in the
Coach
beard. The beard and the long hair.
Oh, Coach Beard.
You haven't seen Coach Beard.
Coach Beard returns in episode two.
Coach Beard is hairy in this episode.
Why do you not like I think his character
I didn't
is
like
so
him
funny.
Then, but I even like him more now than I did before.
I'll tell you
everything about
two,
it.
Like. We get our first new character to the show, and it's perfect casting again.
Is it an actor that we know? Or?
Nope, not at all. Nope. It's flawless. Okay. It's flawless. It's jive. It's predictable. It's cliche. Doesn't matter. It is still just warm
I don't
and
know
fuzzy.
That it's, you know, the very fact that it is so much the way it is, I think it prevents it from being cliche. Because there's not a lot out there like it. Now, it is Jive.
I don't want to offend here. I don't want to offend. But when you're talking cliches,
yeah.
I think that, you know, you talking about cliches, mm-hmm. you are a man who probably loves cliches more than any broadcaster I've ever worked with. So it might not get to you as much as it gets
and
to me.
And why would that hurt my feelings?
I also don't think cliche is the right word.
Okay. All right. Because what would be the right word?
I don't know. It's pretty perfect wrap everything up.
And granted, a cliche is nice every now and then, but when I think cliche, it's sort of like the easy route to telling a story. And I don't think they take the easy route. It might be jive, but I don't think it's expected in any way.
It's not. It's very expected, in my opinion. And don't get me on a road that I'm going to put down Ted Lasso.
No, but like,
love it. I love
going
it.
Into
but
the episode,
very, very broad and predictable, and you know where it's going to go. You know that Keely. Well, you haven't seen episode two.
But episode one, based on episode one alone. The fact that he's going back to England.
If you have to watch episode two to know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I'll remove myself from this then.
In episode two, without giving anything away.
Right.
As a sports guy who has been in locker rooms,
yes.
who plays sports.
Okay.
How great is the Roy Kent storyline?
It's fantastic. Even the locker room is phenomenal.
Yeah.
For a jock, it is just so...
I'll be the judge of that because one knows a locker room like me, except we called it a dressing room.
They do such good with especially the climate now, with sports and women in sports in particular, where everybody seems to be all to have their titty in a ringer mm-hmm. about this men playing women's sports where... It's just women who still have to struggle to get the attention that men get in sports. And I think that some women's sports, a lot of women's sports can be extremely compelling. And soccer certainly is at the top of that list. Yeah. I think we've had a lot of great, great vibe on soccer. I like the whole thing. It just makes me feel
warm. And it seems
warm.
Like they're even going to address the fact that like women's sports is tough to make money in.
It sure is.
And they're going to cover that side as well. So it's great.
It's fantastic, and it's the way life should be. I watched a guy talking about the Odyssey and how a lot of people like Elon Musk are calling it white racism against white people, where they've missed the entire point of the Odyssey, and it makes me want to go back and watch the Odyssey again and see where they're going with it.
Those people made up their mind. Before the movie even
absolutely.
Came out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because of the Ellen Page and... Mm-hmm. It's just...
And you can see that coming. There are people that go into talking about something with an agenda long before they've seen it. They just, you know what, they're going to manufacture a problem.
They're on that hate page about our show.
Exactly.
It's just, for me, I love the idea of... do unto others, the whole golden rule thing that they seem to harp on with Ted Lasso. And, right at the beginning, they were a giant reminder of Ted Lasso and how he rolls and how just a good guy he is, taking the bullet and just I think it's brilliant in its own way. I really do. I think it's brilliant and I know we've raved and raved and raved about it, but it's worth it because there's nothing like it on television. And it reminds me there was nothing on it on television like it when it first came out.
You're right.
And most shows, when they come back after a long push like this, it feels like it's fan service and they're trying to get cameos in and callbacks. And this show manages to bring in so many old little small characters that you love, but not make you feel like it's for fan service.
Robert, my son, loved the show as much as anybody. I think he watched the entire run 2 or 3 times. He loved it. And he said, Dad, I'm just scared it's going to be a cash grab. And after one episode, and it does not feel like a cash grab.
How is he? You mentioned that it was cool that he had the
placard. Yeah.
The plaque on his, that he's now officially a teacher.
Yeah,
how is
we didn't talk about that on the show.
How is it going?
Great. He doesn't have students yet. He's still sitting. Josh, actually, I think I texted it to you. Could you bring up the placard? I would like people to see
it. I do have the placard. Let me find it.
He is right now. It's just so weird because during the last school year, he started essentially as a teaching assistant and substituting because he just needed some money. And he fell into it so well, and he was so embraced by the program that this job opened up at another school. So he's going from being, and I'm not trying to diminish what he did, but just so you know, the journey over a year from being a teaching assistant in his mom's classroom, like, how great is that?
Because he has a career now.
It's so...
He raised the kid, and now he's got a career.
So is he in a different school from your wife
now?
Yes,
he is.
Oh, okay, cool.
He is, his high school is closer to Ashburn, still close. But he's going to have new TAs around him, working under him. He's got to have a new principal to work with. It's going to end all new students.
When does he start in earnest on that?
Week his students.
Okay.
I think it's next week. But you see, Carrie, some of the learning disabled and special needs kids that she teaches, she's had 3 or 4 years. So she gets to know them and know what their peculiarities, I mean, that's not a nice word, but know what their individual needs are.
And get to know their families, I imagine, too.
Well, Mike, I withdrew it as soon as I said it.
I know you did. I'm sorry.
And who doesn't have them among us all?
You live in the 40s, man. You really do.
But one thing that is very cool is he will have TAs, teaching assistants, that have been there before he got there, that have taught like last year. So they'll know the system.
Teaching assistants?
Yeah, that work under him. They'll know the ropes and stuff like that.
They're going to be jealous because they're not the real teachers now?
They didn't apply for the teaching job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean...
Think they're going to be elbowing themselves? Yeah, he just got this job because of his mom.
Well, there's a message board, and they said that the new teacher, Mr. Spiewak, has peculiarities.
Has he met the faculty that he's working with?
He likes everyone he's met. Absolutely. Okay, and he's done stuff this week, like almost like pep rallies where they get countywide teachers in to do like big energetic PowerPoints and guest speakers and all that stuff. And he's like, we just got to get through this, Dad. I'm just ready to teach. But it's so cool. I mean, like he is going to the dollar store and buying games and activities and, ordering stuff to set it. It's
and all the kids are going to be, you can always tell if you look through the window, you don't have to see Robert. You just see the kids looking straight up in the air because he's the tallest teacher.
He had to find the high school that had cathedral ceilings.
That's very cool.
You said he pulled out a little dartboard thing to take to school?
Yeah. Do you remember, you probably had these when Michael was little. It's like a ping pong ball almost with Velcro strips on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got a big one of those for his classroom
because these are
high schoolers. These will be from age 15. And I think because they're special needs, they can stay in until they're 20.
Okay.
But they have, he's got some that need help with motor skills. He'll have some that are literally nonverbal that he'll need to communicate with. And he's learned with Carrie that there are little activities and things that he can have them do that bring them out of their shell. Wow. And
great job.
And then there's going to he'll also be involved in what is known as the transition program, where I believe his school actually has like a setup, like an apartment where people can go in and learn how to wash clothes, how to make a bed, all this stuff that'll help them function in the real world. They go on field trips to grocery stores to learn how to shop, just to help them incorporate themselves into society and not be totally dependent. And I've said it before, and he'll be embarrassed if he hears this. So, Robert, turn your podcasting machine off. Because he went through so much with his leukemia when he was a kid and dealing with other kids at camp and seeing them and all the struggles they go through, he is easily the most empathetic person I've ever met. If you hurt, he feels it. And if you're sad, he feels it. And if you're happy, he feels it. He's going to be so great for these kids.
He got that from Carrie, right?
Certainly not me. Because they can all go piss off. I don't care.
Does he have a path to become Carrie's boss?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
be very exciting.
It would be.
That's amazing that he's doing that. And it's going to be tough, too. Let me ask you this. You probably don't know the answer to this, but I'll ask you anyway. When my sister, who, believe it or not, I think I've mentioned this to you, started out years and years and years ago, the first job she ever had was a special ed teacher.
To cater to you, right?
Yes, so she could help me.
Well, that was on the experience.
And she worked in a very, very difficult part of town, the city, and had a lot of trouble with parents. How is the support level of the parents that for both your wife and your son? Difficult part of the equation?
I can only speak to Kerry because, you know, he's a TA up until now. So he didn't have a lot of teacher interaction. It is definitely a case-by-case basis. And there are some parents that are less likely to be helpful in the situation. But the vast majority of them are fantastic.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, good luck to Robert, and we wish him the very best of luck. Mr. Soroka brought us a piece of video that he wanted to share today that concerns a charity auction they did for the Philadelphia Phillies. And you can set it up better than I can because this sounds like a pretty amazing little story
Last week, I believe it was, the Phillies, they did an auction a few weeks ago, and one of the things you could bid on was a chance to do play-by-play on Phillies radio. And I want you to take a listen to this.
Radio or television?
Radio.
Radio, okay.
So this was the radio play-by-play, even though this is a video.
Oh, so they've married the two pieces of footage.
Headed to the third inning, Phillies on top, 2-1, and we're pleased to welcome Lewis Kolb from Medford Lakes, New Jersey. He is our Phillies fantastic auction winner. He outbid the competition to spend an inning and do some play-by-play in the booth. And Lewis, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. It's a thrill to be here. It's a lifelong dream to be in the Phillies broadcast booth. So here we go. Painter with the first pitch to Ortiz. It's in there for strike one call. Phils with two in the bottom of the second to take the lead. As we start the top of the third, now Painter delivers. It's bounced foul.
He sounds like a Phillies dugout.
And they count 1-1.
He's got the small talk down between pitches.
His timing is exceptional.
The first two games of this series. One more to go tomorrow night, and then a three-game set with the Blue Jays over the weekend. Now Painter delivers. It's a check swing. It's a called strike three. He got him.
Stop. You get upset. All right, let me. That is that a super affectation? Because he sounds like he's doing almost like he's doing an impression, but he's doing straight play-by-play when he does that.
Yeah, but it sounds like a Scully impression.
It sounds like he's doing an impression, but he's also doing... let me hear some more. I'm sorry.
He's great, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's using whatever he's got, and he's really making it work.
And, Lewis, you spent your life as a firefighter, police officer?
Neither of those things.
Just guessing.
I've been a substitute teacher in recent years for Nita School in Lakerland. There's a pitch that's lined over shortstop, a base hit for Dylan Cruz, and he reaches first base safely with a one-out single.
It's a little Charlie Slows.
He might have got his feet a little turned around or mixed up, trying to leap for it as he's going back, but just couldn't quite get him under him to get the ups he needed.
Looked like he might have just got a slight piece of a leather on it. Now here's Lilly. He swings and misses the left fielder, and it's 0-1.
Sounds like an old broadcast.
Yeah, he does. He's listened to a lot of baseball.
Here at the top of the third, Painter from the belt delivers, and that pitch is high and inside. And now the count runs out to 2-1. A muggy night here at the bank.
Boy, that's for sure.
We had some heavy rain. In fact, we got a little bit wet coming in around 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
It's taken me about 2 hours to dry out, but fortunately, just in time to step into the booth. Now, Painter delivers, swung on it, missed.
And the count 1-2. Better feel for that changeup, I think.
A little bit.
Kaybert Ruiz on deck, the
me too.
Nationals catcher. And he'll be followed by Tanya if we get that far. Now Painter. Throws to first.
You know what? His rhythm is very Vin Scully-ish.
Right.
And his timing about getting what he wants to say in before the pitch is exceptional.
But if he's doing an impression, you know, if he, if he leaves and his wife comes up to him and says, honey, you did a great job. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that a lot.
What about if a student comes up to him, you can be this guy for a second. Mm-hmm. He's substitute teaching. And the student comes up and says, I forgot my milk money.
You're going to have to get out of here.
So he paid $22,000 for that opportunity.
So he's got money.
I guess so. He's a retired guy, and he has called more than 3,000 amateur school events.
Okay.
So he's a Tuscarora High School PA.
Yeah. He's done what Rob does.
Yeah. Well, I think he has a different style than me.
You've never done play-by-play. You have done. Remember when we had the discussion when we had to teach you what a play-by-play announcer does?
Do you want me to bring out my notes? I can show you how I learned.
Can you explain to the audience?
Yes, absolutely.
The difference?
A play-by-play guy speaks during the action. He explains what's going on as it's happening.
On a television or radio broadcast.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to do that in a stadium setting because it would be distracting to the actual action on the
field.
Since
we're talking about our kids, I will tell you that there is a internet feed of the varsity football games at my kid's school this year, and my kid has been tapped to do the play-by-play for the TV coverage of the school's varsity football team, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to watch every game, but I'm not going to go to the games. I'm just going to watch them online just to see, just to listen to my kid do it. But the point I'm trying to make that if he's done that, this is really getting into the weeds. There are a lot of play-by-play guys, the Alberts, Marv Albert, yes. Kenny Albert. Yes. Those guys really affect. Joe Buck has an affectation.
Of course.
They do.
Where it's like, there's the guy that we used to make fun of. Oh, God, he was on Fox, and he was a local guy that did national games.
Was it Charlie Slows?
Charlie Slows is another guy that talks like that. And
One of the better, and it also goes into the puker affectation, is NBC's Tom Hammond.
Tom Hammond is another great example of it, but there are the real guys, and I call them the real guys, like Vin Scully, and that do such a great job because they've got that natural baritone.
That's why Philly fans are now calling for this guy to have the job.
Really?
That's great.
Philly fans are doing things online and all contacting the team saying that we want this guy to call all our games.
Yeah, they'll turn on him and they'll eventually kill him because there's Philly fans. But
that's just so mean for the real play-by-play guy. Is he that bad that they want him to get in there? Oh, the Orioles had Chuck Thompson. The Orioles also had John Miller, who was just brilliant.
Wasn't there a Joe Angel for the Orioles?
There was Joe Angel, who was another great broadcaster for the Orioles. There was Tom Davis, who did some stuff for the Orioles. They did the Orioles. I know all my Orioles broadcasters because they really were better than anything we had in Washington, D.C.
Affectation to me is almost like a broadcaster that says or too much. It's something they lean into.
Right.
They can draw out words and they can do a different style because it's like a little filler.
But I think it's also comforting.
Sure.
When I listen to games.
There is nothing. I only did it once. And I did it on the radio for the American University baseball team, the Eagles, and they played Tulane. I remember Tulane because they were called the Green Tide of Tulane in a baseball game. Nothing more fun. Nothing more fun to do. But difficult, too. Probably the toughest play-by-play would be hockey. Doc Emmerich being the guy I always wanted to get on the show, never had the opportunity. He's one of the best.
There's no downtime.
It's just absolute rapid fire. But man, oh man, congratulations. That guy in typical Philly. Fire the other guy! Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I thought? I didn't think of that. There is hatred there. It's not love for the guy. It's hatred for the other people.
Yeah, why they have bars and jails in their stadiums. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have a lot more fun and thrills and tidbits coming up
I love
here
these.
On the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Some of the greatest things in history have come from great pairings, but none of them can compare to the newest partnership that's the talk of the town, also the county. It's the one you've been waiting for, the Mike O'Meara Show and Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. It's your chance to try the award-winning Jot Hot Wing Sauce. It's easy to bring the great taste of Jimmy's to your own home, no matter where you live. Just go to jimmystavern.com and click on Jot Wing Sauce to order a bottle of the world's best buffalo wing sauce. You can also click the link at tmospodcast.com. Jot Hot pairs perfectly with anything and everything. May we recommend wings? Celery, blue cheese, an ice cold beverage. It's like having Jimmy in your own home. Well, maybe. Coloring book not included. Even better, you can support the show and save a dollar when you enter the code TMOS at checkout. All hail the king of the wings. Go to jimmystavern.com and stock up. Support Jimmy, support us. It'll be okay. And remember, please sauce responsibly. Oh, hit the music, Slim. Here we go with the tidbits for today's show. Whoa. Bottom of the third inning. There we go. And
will you do all the tidbits with an affectation today?
Oh, absolutely. The United States just had its hottest month ever. It was hot yesterday. We got soaked coming in here to the ballpark. 2-1 the count right now. No, I'll stop that. Stop it. Really?
It took him 2 hours to dry off.
Mike. Now, where did my thing go again?
You need your thing.
Oh, there we are. Mm-hmm. It left us again. You lost again. I know what happened, though. I fixed it immediately this time.
Oh, you still have? Okay, good.
U.S. had its hottest month ever, and July wasn't even close to normal. I think everybody on the eastern seaboard and probably around most of the country knows that. NOAA says July 2026 was the hottest month ever recorded for the contiguous United States, with an average temperature of 76.889 degrees. Every one of the lower 48 was at least 1 degree above its 20th century average. What's really interesting is that nighttime temperatures were a major part of the record, meaning it wasn't just hot during the day. The country wasn't cooling off as much at night either. So there's that. The planet slowly but surely burning up, ladies and gentlemen.
The political climate is doing it.
The hot air and the anger.
And also hatred and anger. Sure.
Yeah. We all know it. We've chosen to ignore it. We've always chosen to ignore it. Mm-hmm. People still deny it. We're going to, it's not going to affect us. So the idiots that have made this happen are not going to be around for, when it comes to pay the piper. But we shall see. Is it reversible? I don't know.
No, I don't think it is.
Sea levels will rise. We will have bigger storms. We'll have more flooding. Blah, 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 and we will not give an S. That's a lot of legacies come from our time on this planet, Rob. You and me and Josh, where, the history books will show that, man, oh, man, did we F up the world. We really, really did.
At
with
every
our
level.
Pigheadedness and our stupidity.
What's his name? Willis Carrier, the guy that invented the air conditioner? If he hadn't done that, we'd be paying attention.
Oh, you bet we would. You bet we would. I come from New England, where now everybody has air conditioners. We didn't have them when I grew up. I was in southern Connecticut, too.
And you told me that in the dead of summer, in Maine at night, sometimes you would literally have a fire in your fireplace.
Almost every night. I remember three-week
periods. Just to burn evidence.
The bodies and dinner. And we'd cook dinner over the open flame.
Yes.
What we'd catch or, scrape off the road during the day. You'll see. If you live long enough, I'm here to tell you, I come from a part of the world where I lived a good chunk of my days, northern Maine, down east Maine, where I remember what the big temperature deals were. If you got a 75 to 80 degree day up there during July, it was a big deal. Man, it's warm. Boy, is it warm. Now it's average 90. You get it like everywhere else in the country. So there's that, and it does suck.
It's funny, it depends on where you live. When I was spending all the time in Miami with my dad, if it was like a 60-degree day, people would go out in parkas. They'd be out of control. It's what you're used to, but it's just nuts.
Yeah. North Korea fired another missile, and the timing isn't an accident. North Korea launched another ballistic missile into the sea on Wednesday, its second missile test in less than a week. South Korea and the U.S. are getting ready for joint military exercises, which North Korea regularly describes as preparation for an invasion. The missile fell into the sea, but the bigger story, there it is right there. It sounds strangely like a bottle rocket.
Well, they
it?
Bought it. It was a 2-for-1 sale. There was actually a stand where they bought the missile.
Can we hear it again, please?
Absolutely, yeah.
Here's North Korea launching the missile.
Yep.
Boodle.
Follow up with this.
Right into the ocean. Oh, another one. Oh. Yeah. Oh, no explosion. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. But this is my favorite.
The bigger story is that North Korea appears to be using the tests as a very expensive way of saying, hey, we're still here.
That's great.
That's fun, isn't it? Way to go, Kim Jong-un. Taylor Swift's wedding dress. I know you want a bid on it, Rob. I know you really want it badly.
If it's an 18 to a 20, I could maybe fit into it.
It is still a secret, but the bridal industry is already making money off of it. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are already married, but their wedding dress, not
their wedding dress, it was built for two. It had four sleeves.
I like it when I screw up and I'm able to enjoy it before I finish the sentence. But her wedding dress remains under wraps. That hasn't stopped the bridal industry from going into full Taylor mania. Reuters reports that David's Bridal and other companies,
great store at Tyson's Corner back in the 1970s, David's Bridal, of course.
Do you know David? Didn't you go to school with David?
I did, as a matter of fact, and it was weird because he started out in horses, and that's why it was called David's Bridal, because he was selling bridles for horses, and he said the money's in dresses.
God, for years I thought it was the late newscaster David Hainline that ran that outfit as a side hustle.
Salesman David Hainline?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Newscaster.
Now is a good time to remind people that they have 15 minutes left to bid on Dinner with Rob.
Oh, that's right.
Let's stop the presses, slow it down, let's open it up, let's see where we are.
It is currently at $165.
Wow.
For Dinner with Rob.
Rob, how much time do we have left?
We have 15 minutes left.
Rob,
I hope there's some last minute sniping.
Come on now.
That's what I hope.
It's time to jump in there. We've got the crossover bag. We've got the Beatles hoodie. We've got the water bottle and the Hank Aaron ball, all with just one bid each. Mm-hmm. So we've got plenty of time for all that.
Yeah.
14 and a half minutes. But
if you bid in the next 15 minutes, I will match your bid with a smile. There you go.
Are we allowed to use that smile as our handshake?
That's really, really exciting. Rob, it's your dinner. Is there anything you'd like to say? With 15 minutes to go and what appears to be a big L for you.
Yeah. I would like to say to everyone who even has just a spark of interest, I will be so charming. I will be so funny. I will wear closed-toed shoes. It is going to be a wonderful evening and a memory you will treasure forever, and you really can't put a price on it, but for God's sakes, try.
The baseball, what is the status of that?
The Hank Aaron ball is at $230.
Ah, so that was a win. That's good. That's a good thing.
That's a good deal.
And the Beatles hoodie, where are we?
$125.
How many bids on the Beatles hoodie?
One. Everything else has one bid.
That's just terrible.
Now, I think Dinner with Rob has beaten us a second time.
To be perfectly clear, the Hank Aaron ball, is it his left ball or his right ball?
There we go. Let's move on, shall we, please?
Oh, yes, back to her nippleless wedding dress.
Reuters reports that David's Bridal and other companies are watching the situation closely because whatever Taylor wore could immediately create a huge new wedding trend. Basically, Taylor doesn't have to sell a dress. She just has to be photographed wearing one. It's nice to be her, isn't it?
It is. It must really be nice. Let me guess. Is it white?
I hope so.
Then buy a white wedding dress. That's what you got to do.
On the heels of that great news we got from the highest paid podcasters with the Kelce brothers. Remember
Yes, of course.
Earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. So very, very exciting. Johnny Depp.
Things are working out well for them.
I am too. Johnny Depp showed up at Comic-Con looking like he just escaped from a Dickens novel. Johnny Depp surprised fans at San Diego Comic-Con by appearing in full costume as Ebenezer Scrooge for his upcoming movie, Ebenezer, A Christmas Carol.
That's the big one. The San Diego Comic-Con, that's the big one, yeah.
And Scrooge has my attention.
He was so completely transformed that some people didn't immediately recognize him. The movie is a darker take on the classic story. It's dark to start
with. Tell me about it. Read the book.
It's as dark as it gets. Yeah. Depp clearly seems to be having fun with the I haven't slept in 200 years look. We'll have to wait and see.
Do you think he's old enough to be an effective Scrooge?
I think Johnny Depp can morph into anything he wants to morph into, and the man is close to 60 right now, is he not?
I hate to think that, but
Johnny
guess
Depp is an old guy now.
He really should go by John Depp then, if he's
John
that old.
Depp.
People never bring this up. He's 63? Wow. People never bring this up about Ebenezer Scrooge because they always hate him. He loved Easter.
There you go. Thanks for sharing that. He was always in a better mood than this.
He was. Oh, my God. He dressed so nice and you'd hide eggs. Yeah. It was fun.
Thanks for sharing that. Podcasts are officially becoming television. Disney Plus and Hulu have signed a deal with iHeartMedia. Well, there's their first mistake. They're going to bring 6 video podcasts to their streaming services. Doesn't say what they are, of course. The deal is part of a much bigger shift. Next week, we will have a major, major announcement on this very show to tell you what's going on. You know, you use your own discretion as to whether it relates to this this big news.
All
here.
I know is when Hulu and Disney reveal what these 6 are, I promise that I will vomit.
The deal is part of the much bigger shift. Streamers are no longer treating podcasts as just something you listen to in the car. They want the video version, at
it's
least
something you watch in the car.
I'll tell you though, here on the Mike O'Mara show, just know Rob Spiewak still describes the videos for all of you audio folks, which I think is very sensitive and very, very forward thinking of him for the people who don't give a fuck about video. Rob describes the videos.
Mike, so many in my family are sightless.
That's but very sweet of you to do that. Yes.
This is really just streaming. This is just like when everyone went reality shows. It's cheap content to fill.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So we don't know what they are yet, but they want the video versions, the hosts, the sets, and the personalities on your TV screen. Oh, Netflix and HBO Max are moving into this space. So if you've ever thought, why would anybody want to watch a podcast? I know a lot of our listeners have wondered that. Congratulations, Hollywood has decided you're fucking wrong. Okay?
I don't mind looking at the microphones, but I can do that in 10 seconds. What I don't like is now Netflix is moving their podcasting tier of things. Like, you know, it always starts with top 10 movies, something you might have missed. Would you like to continue? The podcasts are moving up on the Netflix home screen.
And yeah,
I
they're starting
that.
To blend it as what's new, and they're putting the podcast in with the TV
shows. You do
shows.
One.
I know, but
you do one. Saying you hate that is, you know,
I don't want people to have the endorsement of Netflix. It gives them a leg up. Find the real talent.
No,
like
but I
here.
Think that's the difference is what we are all tired of is podcasts that are these huge podcasts, not because they do a good job, but because a celebrity got on the microphone.
Yeah. That's what they all have. All
they
the
all got a shortcut.
Kelsey Brothers, you know. But, you know, I don't consider Rogan being a shortcut guy.
No, Rogan
he's a pioneer. You know, anybody, he's got the guests. If you get the guests, you get the numbers. That's just the way it goes. And that's why we, you know, we struggled. But they kind of piss on you if you're not one of the biggies. And that's what we've always struggled against. And I think for the industry that nobody even thought was anything other than your mother's basement 20 years ago, it's pretty special that they're able to do that. So we'll see what happens with that. Hollywood, you know, is still booming when it comes to box offices this summer. People are still not going to the movies quite as often. But this is a weird one. The U.S. box office is on pace for its best year since the pandemic, with domestic revenue already around $6.2 billion through August 2nd. I find that so hard to believe. Because,
I don't,
you know,
because the movie prices are high, 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 and also everyone clamoring to see The Odyssey in IMAX. Those tickets are $40.
Well, my point is that The Odyssey, which I did go to the theater to see, is an anomaly for me because I hardly ever go to the theater anymore. But you're right, the prices.
And it's been a big year with the new Toy Story movie, the Michael Jackson movie, the Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. So it's up 15% from last year, but fewer people are actually buying tickets. The money is being driven by bigger blockbusters, we just said. Premium formats, higher ticket prices, as Rob mentioned. In other words, Hollywood has figured out how to make more money from people while convincing them to go to the movies less often. They figured it out.
They did.
Isn't that great?
And the movie gets streaming in about 30 days.
That's right.
So then you're watching it at home a lot sooner.
Every movie gets a podcast.
So what it is, folks, is the restaurant model, which means good luck when there's a time you want to head out to see the cinema because you're going to pay out the ass for it and you're going to get less quality for more money.
Speaking of which, Mike, I know you didn't see it in the theater. Have you streamed the movie Michael yet, the Michael Jackson movie?
I have not. I haven't had the pleasure.
I just rewatched it. I saw it in the theater and I just rewatched it on streaming. And it is a perfect background movie because while it was great in the theater at home, you can look in on the musical stuff. It's just sensational. But when his head catches on fire in this movie, spoiler alert, when he's doing the commercial, it is so horrifying that I really had to look away. I'm just curious if it will affect you the same way when you see it.
I don't think it will. You know why?
Why?
I'm not going to watch it.
You should watch it.
No, it was pretty good. It was a fun movie.
The idea of the cousin and so finally today, the most important question in America, who gets to be an influencer? There's a new online argument making the rounds over a no influencer sign, and the internet being the internet cannot leave it alone. People are debating whether businesses should be allowed to ban influencers from filming content on their property. Well, there are plenty of people that ban filming content on their property. They're called casinos. That raises the obvious question, at what point does a person stop? By the way, the casino that bans people from shooting content, same casino that's getting out of completely away from low volatility machines. The same people that just want to make sure they fuck everybody as much as they possibly can and don't help anybody in any possible way.
The casino itself, Mike, the building is hosting a podcast.
Yes, it is.
I like the idea of rules on influencers.
You do.
Prove that you're actually an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
Prove that people follow you.
Yeah. Yeah, or you get kicked out of the store. Is that what you
want
to
say? No. But if you want to be able to shoot here in public, prove that people care that it'll help me.
Mm-hmm. Do you care? Like show a card or something? How do you want them to prove
it? A badge.
No, show how many people are following you.
But the obvious
show that you
question.
Have followers.
Okay. At what point does a person stop being a customer and become a guy with a tripod who is ruining everybody's lunch? There you go.
There's a whole angle of people trying to be influencers
right.
by calling up businesses and wanting free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then saying, I'll share it with my 200 people.
Well,
who would ever do that?
Most businesses are getting pretty savvy. They're getting pretty, pretty savvy. Yes. And they, they know. The algorithms are out there, guys. That's the way it works
helps.
In this day and age. We'll take a short break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to tell you about Rula. It was George Harrison who once posed the musical question, what is life?
True.
What is life? What was that movie? I mean, what was that musical? I mean, that song.
What is... I'll have it for you by the end of this commercial.
Okay. George, life is a lot. You got your work, you got your family, you got your stress, you got burnout, anxiety. Sometimes your brain just says, hey, maybe we should talk to somebody. Great idea. Now try finding a therapist who takes your insurance. That can be the most stressful part. That's where Rula comes in. Rula connects you with licensed therapists and mental health providers covered by insurance. They work with more than 100 insurance plans with average copays around $15 a session and sometimes even zero depending on your coverage. Zero is great. We like zero. Rula helps match you with someone who fits your needs and your preferences. Appointments available as soon as tomorrow. Less searching, more talking. That's the idea. Mental health care should be affordable and accessible. Visit Rula.com/TMOS today to get started. That's Rula.com/TMOS. Thank you, Rula. We truly appreciate it. This is it.
Of course. Great guitar.
He didn't have as many as Paul, obviously. Maybe not even as many as Ringo, but the songs he had a distinctive George Harrison feel.
He cared about every record. And you know what? Ringo's hits were great, too. Photograph, which actually George Harrison helped him with, is as good as any Paul song.
On my original audition tape. There we go. Great song. All we want is a photograph and a photograph. And I guess, did you bring it to the show or was I reading it just the other day? What a great human being George Harrison was.
Oh, he was.
They were talking about, it was an exchange that Ringo had with George when he was dying. Mm-hmm. And Ringo had, I think, a son that was in rough shape too, and he had to leave. And on his deathbed, where he could hardly move, George Harrison said to Ringo, "Do you want me to come with you?" And right to the very bitter end, he was actually showing that kind of empathy to Ringo, and that's what George Harrison was
about. To be fair, but Paul also sent that son a gift card.
For a small fee.
For a small fee, and he would sign it for a small honorarium.
Mm, yeah,
no, George Harrison was an extraordinarily special guy, and if you listen to his albums, you can hear it, but if you read about him, you will... And also, a great sense of humor. There is a very funny talk show clip from, like, maybe the mid-'80s with Ringo and George on a talk show, and Ringo says something about, like, "Well, why didn't you do anything about that with me?" And he says, "Well, I was suing you." He says, "Oh, yes, that's right."
There you go. All right, we've been trying to get to it all week. Space luggage.
Oh, you're going to love this, Mike.
Space luggage. Space luggage. Space luggage. Space. 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 Luggage. Luggage. Luggage.
Luggage. Actually, what you need to say is luggage of the future.
Luggage of the future.
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 Future. Future. I have two videos that I want to show you, and then we can talk price. This is from a TikTok feed called Random Tech Finds. And anyone who has ever had a suitcase, you know, that you have to drag around in an airport, and it wasn't that long ago. You think about, Mike, that we used to have to carry suitcases.
Right.
They didn't have wheels. They were heavy. Look how far we've come. This is wild.
Tech Finds. I thought this was a normal suitcase until it did this. Once you get past security, you just put the battery inside, then take out this remote and put it in your pocket, and then it's able to follow you around, tracking your movements completely hands-free, letting
I wouldn't
you go
like
anywhere
it.
Without holding on. But that's
Stay
not
with
even
it.
The best part. If you push these out and set it in remote control mode, you can ride it around the airport as a scooter up to 6 miles an hour, which is so
now,
much more
now
fun
Mike's
than
in.
Walking.
I'm all in now.
While you wait. Not only can it charge your phone, but it has an incline mode that helps
all
you
right,
go up
stop
ramp
it. Pause it.
Okay.
Is this
yeah,
real?
It's fine if you're 3 feet tall.
True, true.
I mean, that thing...
Well, you just got to buy a bigger piece of luggage.
Is yeah. that true? Do they have bigger batteries, or is that the only size it comes in?
I will talk to you about sizes and prices after we finish with the video.
All right, because, go ahead.
Okay, so here we go.
Go up ramps, and even a dancing mode where it balances itself.
Dancing mode. So what you think that's good, but go ahead, Josh.
Well, I want to know what about escalators, because I accidentally dropped my luggage down the escalator when I was coming back from Detroit.
I dropped my luggage down an escalator that was going up, and it took 6 days for it to reach the bottom of the steps.
Can you show the video? Let's do it uninterrupted.
All right.
Let's see the video top to bottom because I interrupted it. My
all right,
apologies.
This is a space suitcase, Mike.
Tech Finds. I thought this was a normal suitcase until it did this. Once you get past security, you just put the battery inside, then take out this remote and put it in your pocket, and then it's able to follow you around, tracking your movements completely hands-free, letting you go anywhere without holding on. But that's not even the best part.
If you push these out and set it in remote control mode,
you can ride it around the airport as a scooter up to 6 miles an hour, which is so much more fun than walking, or even use it as a chair while you wait. Not only can it charge your phone, but it has an incline mode that helps you
is
go
that an AI voice
in a dancing mode where it balances itself.
I don't know. I don't whatever know. It is, it's wrong. I don't like the
doesn't
voice.
It sound like that? Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. I've heard that so, patter the same way like
I
a
can't
million times.
But I can't tell if that's just the way influencers talk, so I went a little deeper. I wanted to find a more real-life person.
Good, because like, if I see you driving your luggage around, I will judge you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This guy is having the time of his life.
Where I found it is called a space suitcase. All right, we put the battery in. If I press this, it's supposed to follow me. Oh my goodness. So if I put it in my pocket, right, okay. It was just supposed to follow me.
Okay.
Well, hold on.
Same technology
oh
as a golf cart.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Apparently you can also use it as a policy? Scooter.
That's awesome.
I know for a fact that the next time I take a flight, I'll be sitting next to that guy just by bad luck.
A little too exuberant, if you ask me. By the way, and so, you know, I say this because a lot of guys have these. There are automatic, pull carts where they follow you. A lot of guys have them that want to walk the golf course.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah, they're all over golf courses.
I know they've got drones like that that will follow you and film you.
Now, the one thing I don't like about the space suitcase, Mike, is they tell you the size by metric. For example, I think that guy was using the 26-liter carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much would you pay? How much do you think it costs?
Well, somebody in the chat group said $1,300.
Oh, see, I was going to guess $300 to $400.
$749.25, marked down from $999. Now, if you step up to a 33-liter one, which is bigger, it comes with the remote and the app. That's $974. And then they have one that is also 22-liter that actually looks like a scooter that you can drive around. So this is a whole thing, and if you go to their website, you will see that they have video of Paris Hilton riding one of the space suitcases. So it is a real product.
All right, ladies
and gentlemen.
The first
thing I check, Josh, is it fake? And it is real.
I take you to Washington's Reagan International Airport on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock
yes.
and try to make that little remote work with that thing yes. 6 feet in back of you. It ain't going to work. The model doesn't work.
Well, and try riding it where everyone is taller than you and you can't see above because you're sitting down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the rideable luggage might work, but it has to be at one of the airports like Hartsfield or Houston, Jacksonville.
It would work in quieter towns.
Do you think the Portland International Jetport would be good for that?
I think that you'd probably hit a wall as soon as you start it up because it's so small.
And, How about the John Foster Dulles International Airport?
That is, there are so many different escalators, stairs, trams, people movers, trains.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have a bell?
You'd have to
little bell like a
that would be an aftermarket thing. Exactly.
When you're right.
It's like the Rodney thing where it's like.
But that is luggage of the future. It can't. And my thought is it can't possibly work as well as it seems to. And even if it does, it's a bad idea.
Now, I have seen guys on the golf course and they have their golf bag on one of these little robots, mm-hmm. and then they carry the remote control on their hip. It's like a clip that you would have for one of those cell phones, and they walk around, and sometimes they do develop a mind of their own, and I have. Eyewitness, I have seen them go into the pond when the guy wasn't paying attention. I have seen that happen.
That's sad, right?
It's sad, right? Yeah, you see, and he turns around, no, and the thing, one wheel goes up, and then the whole thing collapses.
Is it normally a guy that would be, before it goes in the pond, like, hey, look what I got. This is awesome, isn't this?
No, because they're common. They're common.
Okay.
You go to any sporting goods store or a golf store, and you'll see these things. They're expensive, but they sell them all the time. They are much more of a viable alternative to, yanking that thing around the golf course, and I've used them because they actually have them at Happy Valley. They have like 8 or 9 of them that they use that you can rent, and I've taken them out when we've gotten lots of rain, and you can't take golf carts out there because I like having it, and it's like walking with a caddy. I think they work, but in an airport, when I saw the distance, like 4 or 5 feet between the dude that's walking along and his suitcase, that's going to be a difficult thing to do. And, of course, then there's tomfoolery and hijinks.
Yeah, like it's snatchable, right?
If you want to steal it, take it to the car, it might be there also.
It's heavy with the battery, though. You have to pop the battery before you steal it.
Oh, that heavy battery.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I found my Theragun. Do you remember when we had them as a sponsor?
Uh-huh.
Hey, that'll work on your wall.
When we were cleaning out the garage,
yes.
Lo and behold, the Theragun was discovered, and I had to order the $14 charging cord because why is it charging cords? That, you know what I can't stand? I like it if you have an item, charge the thing by going into the item itself. When you have to go to the wall, then to the charging station, then from the charging station to the battery, then the battery into the thing.
I think video cameras sort of invented that technology, and I hated it. How do you feel about things now that you get that charge directly with a USB cord?
I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Sure.
I don't like that.
Then you have one cord, and it's when you travel, you pack one cord. It charges the laptop, the phone, the iPad. Mm-hmm.
But you have to bring a block.
But here's the difference. Yeah. I think when you have the actual physical battery that has to come out separately and charge, and then you have intercourse with it to get it into the actual machine, you get a lot more power. you get a lot more power, because I have one where you just put the unit into the wall.
Right.
And then I have one that has the battery, the Theragun that I resurrected from the dead. And oh my God, I mean, it practically dislocated my vertebrae. It was fabulous. Absolutely wonderful.
When I had the Theragun, I actually used it to ride around an airport. It was great.
Thank you for sharing that. We will take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do it. The celebrity you wouldn't want for a roommate.
Okay.
Think about it. Know it. Learn it. Live it. But first, I want to remind you, you know, once January rolls around, most people get ready for the post-holiday slump.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no need for a slump when you've got a cruise to go on. That's right, people, a wonderful cruise, the TMOS cruise. Yay! Get ready. It's wonderful. There's so much extra copy here before we get to the product. Let me get through it all here. All right, the best way to have a great January is the TMOS 2027 cruise. This year, better price, longer trip, more notice. We're learning. Join Mike, Rob, Josh, and a boatload of Americans aboard the all-new Margaritaville at Sea Islander, sailing January 21st, 2027. 5 days, 4 nights of laughs, meet and greets, a live podcast recording, tropical weather in the dead of winter, plus great food, big drinks. What could possibly be better? We sailed from Tampa with 2 relaxing days at sea, a Saturday stop in beautiful Cozumel, and one last day to chill before we head home on Monday. Call 800-814-7100 or visit tmospodcast.com and click store. Book now, lock in your price, and come get American in the sun. TMOS Cruise 2027, certified fresh. It's also fire. Jesus
Christ. It is. It's fire.
All right, here's the next.
I was trying to convince my sister today to go on the cruise.
I had a conversation with my sister who will be joining us on
what
is going to be a very special cruise.
Get both of your sisters and have them share a room.
She's going to be with my sister will be with her hubby, I believe. So I'm not sure.
I don't know that we need all that.
But
he can stay home.
I will tell you this. I think it's going to be a very special, special cruise. Probably one of the most special events we've ever done. And I think, if you would like to be a part of it, get off your ass and get a cabin. And I'm very, very happy. Josh had the update on cabin sales. We're doing very well with that. And just remember that weekend. And Rob, the next time you write a commercial for it.
Yeah.
Here's my instruction to you.
Right.
Write the commercial as though you were selling it yourself. Write the commercial as though it was the Rob Spiewak cruise line.
Okay.
And you had, under penalty of death, you had to sell 5 cabins that day after they heard your commercial.
You skip the opening joke on the thing, though, Mike. That's the thing.
I don't
That's
give a flying rat's ass about opening jokes. I want to sell rooms, baby.
Okay.
That's what I want to do. I want this to be the biggest event.
Rob's going to sell it as a 3-hour cruise. He's going to just take Gilligan's Island.
I will not do that.
Or the Love Boat.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get the joke. It was George Harrison.
No.
That's another one. All right. They're all stuck together here. You know, once January rolls around, most people get ready for the post-holiday slump. January can be boring unless you attend an insurrection or something. That's a 2000.
An old joke.
January 6th is still important.
I was going through this, and I had an hour before I even got to what we were selling. Mm. That's what I was concerned. But I don't. Is that the joke? The insurrection?
The insurrection. Don't go to an insurrection. Come on a cruise.
You know, the cruise ends the day before my birthday. I tried my hardest to make the cruise go through my birthday.
He's selling, Mike. That'll sell 5 cabins. Come to a cruise that's close to Josh's birthday.
Yeah, it's close to my birthday.
Yeah.
Take my advice.
It's further than the insurrection.
The great January. Next week you'll know.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, next week you'll know just how special it's going to be. So special, I almost get verklempt talking about it.
Mm.
Not really. Yeah.
The chat room wants to know if you had to send a picture of the boat to Kathy to get her to buy a ticket.
There you go. Where? Who
thank
said
you
that?
For thank you for doing the jokes for us in the chat
Simmons
room.
Blazers, very good. All right, so here it is. This was an AI generated topic that I think I got 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
AI likes to say, hey, why don't you talk about this? And this is one that intrigued me because it wasn't just the celebrity you like, the celebrity you hate. This was a question, what celebrity, a celebrity you wouldn't want to live with in a roommate situation?
Mm-hmm.
Have you given this any thought whatsoever?
I have two right away that came to mind.
Okay. I haven't. I have not given this a moment's thought.
And, you know, it's funny because just a moment ago, we were talking about how great he was. But I think Johnny Depp would be a problematic roommate.
That's what I wrote down, was Johnny Depp.
Because
now, is that because we had Johnny Depp 10 minutes ago in a story?
No, I thought about this when you talked about it days ago.
And he's got the lawsuit and the didn't bedroom behavior.
Yeah, didn't Rob he leave a coil on the bed?
Yes, Rob and I will now do a playlet.
Okay.
And I will play the role of a former newscaster on this program. And we'll go, I'll play two roles. I will play the role of the newscaster and myself. All right.
Okay.
So, Rob, you know, actually, you can play the role of,
I think I know where you're going.
Asking the question. Yeah. Rob, who would you not want to be roomies with?
I would not want to be roommates with. You threw me. I thought you were going with a different direction than this. I would not want to be a roommate also with Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll. All right.
Yes.
Now you ask.
Buzz, who would you not want to be a roommate with?
Jelly Roll.
How about this one, Mike, as a sequel to that line of questioning?
You were going to do the same thing with Johnny Depp. That's what it was going to be.
No, but this is where I thought you were going, which is, you know, the ice cream is one of the greatest desserts in the world. There is so many kinds of ice cream, and there's so many different varieties and so many flavors. Buzz, what's your favorite kind of ice cream?
Chocolate?
Actual answer.
With the question mark on the end.
I didn't want to commit to it. No, Johnny Depp came to me when you first brought this up last week.
It's the coil.
Yeah.
The coil is why you don't want to be
shit on a bed
Depp.
For revenge.
No, he didn't. It was Amber Heard that shit on the bed.
No,
he didn't
it was
shit
him
on the bed.
In her bed.
No! It was her poop, guys. It was her poop. That was why it was brought out in court that he alleged that she took a dump on his bed.
Either way, he was too close to it to make him savory.
That you can't save that.
All right, all right, okay. Now
you guys got it wrong.
Then I've got another one for you.
Okay, very good.
Seth Rogen,
because
he is one mode all the time, always the same, and it's got to be really annoying to hear that laugh nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be in a living situation with a guy that I find his work has been great. He's done fabulous work, but I would think he would be a handful, and that would be Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks swims.
Oh, you're in a definite odd couple situation.
He swims in Lake Me so totally. And I'm talking about like
that Martin Short documentary.
Yes. Yep. Where they're all the celebrities getting together every holiday. We're famous. And you'd be like, what? Can I help you? You know, I'd walk in to get a snack out of the refrigerator. Oh, Mike's here. Hi, Mike. Hi. Say hi to Martin Short. Yeah. How you doing? Everything going okay? Yeah. Okay. Great, great. And then the conversation would stop because they'd be waiting for me to leave.
Yeah.
That's my inferiority complex that I have.
But I think everyone would feel that way. I can't think anyone, though. I mean, maybe even Rita Wilson doesn't want to live with him.
You know, I have learned one particular thing from this little segment that we have here.
Hmm.
I've learned the fact that I will never use AI again for content on my topic. I didn't care for it.
I didn't
think it went anywhere. I think it just laid there, and I think it's very non-human, the subject.
Do you have any other celebrities that come to mind? Because I had came to me.
Well, what if
the annoying ones?
There are many layers to this, and it's got to be narrowed down. That's the problem. If you're just saying the reality, you have to suspend a lot of disbelief because you have to talk about if you could go on a date with a single celebrity who's available right now, you know, that type of question. When you're talking about celebrity you wouldn't want for a roommate, well, a lot of these people are married. A lot of these people have significant others. You know, it doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
And does it elevate beyond the actual celebrity you hate? I don't know.
I hate a lot of celebrities, but I think I could live with them. What drives me nuts is someone who is famous for a reason that's not great, and they read their own press and they buy into it, and they are self-important, And because of that, I could not live with Luke Bryant.
You just see, that's just your hate.
That's your hate of Luke Bryant.
No, because he loves himself.
It's lazy. He loves himself. No, you hate Luke Bryant. That's it. You're just using Luke Bryant. You got to be more creative than that. Come on.
If you want to go with the love yourself angle, there's definitely celebrities where you don't want to be around them because they are so much about themselves.
Right.
But I don't think Luke Bryant has that.
And he's a married guy with a family and all that. And also, there are different generations involved here. Like, a celebrity that I wouldn't want to live with now, there are a lot more people on the list than when I was, say, 25, 30, when, you know, maybe Johnny Knoxville and crew would be the people I'd want to hang out with, be part of the gang with that situation. Yeah, but
you wouldn't want to live with them. You'd hang with them, and then you want to have an escape.
All right, can I give you the number one, I would love a guest house on his property? It would be my all-time favorite, Shaquille O'Neal. I would love to be like a caretaker, you know, and just go, you know, walk into the kitchen in the morning, you know, what's up, dog? Yeah, I would just, oh my God, that would be so. My dream guest will always be Shaquille O'Neal. If we got Shaquille O'Neal, you would see me get verklempt. I love everything about Shaquille O'Neal. I love his outspokenness. I love his generosity. I love his lack of a filter where he doesn't suffer any fools. I like the fact that you can legitimately piss him off. Mm-hmm. Like when they'll make a joke on that, the former show inside the NBA, and Shaq will look off camera, past the cameras to whoever's laughing at him, and he'll give him a dirty look like he wants to kick their ass.
Yeah.
There's nothing about Shaquille O'Neal that I don't love.
He's real.
He's absolutely real. And he'll go into a Walmart and buy a family a television for every room. He's that kind of guy. It's very, very cool.
Let the news know.
No, disagree.
I don't think he seeks that out. I think people find out.
He doesn't need it.
I don't think he does it for that.
I think people find it out, Mike, how would you feel about living with Mario Lopez?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a great pull. That is a great, great pull. Probably the opposite of what you get on camera is what you would get with Mario Lopez.
Tantrums, I think you're right. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Selfishness.
Lack of hygiene.
That type of thing. Who's somebody that you would think, you know, if I could just be in their orbit, I would love to be in there. And they have to be alive.
Yeah.
They have to be alive. Who is a celebrity you would maybe love to rub shoulders with? Thinking it would be, I mean, a legitimately decent experience if you did it.
I think I could hang out with Matthew Broderick.
Wow.
It's not a bad pick. It's just out of nowhere.
I think it's a terrible miss.
No, it's
you don't know me.
I think you'd be so disappointed.
Well, maybe he would be disappointed.
Well, you've got the Sarah Jessica Parker factor, too.
Yeah, that's true. And that's, you know what?
She'd hate you.
She would, but you know what? I wouldn't mind her.
I know. You hear a scream. He's standing over my bed again.
He's in the bathroom.
Josh, no, you're the last one.
If you think of all the Rat Packers, or the Brat Packers, I should say.
Right.
I think that, and he's sort of tangential to the Brat Pack. I think Matthew Broderick would be one of the better ones.
Ugh. What about you, Josh?
I think Nicolas Cage, because he's just a wild man. So you don't know what's going to happen that day.
Okay. All right. So that's it's all over the place. Thank you, artificial intelligence. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we've got, what the hell do we have? Oh, we have beautiful video. That's
right.
We got
vids.
The vids are coming, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I would like to talk to you about something that's very, very near and dear to my heart. It's DermGlow Skin, because my wife runs the company. Have you been battling the fatigue, the weight gain, the brain fog, the low energy, the poor sleep? We're just not feeling yourself. You just don't have the energy. You don't have to guess what's going on. You can take the free wellness quiz at DermGlow Skin. Click the weight and management and peptide button, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll receive personalized goals and recommendations based on your goals, healthier skin, more energy. There are personalized options designed to help you feel your best. Everything is done from the comfort of your home through licensed medical providers, with products shipped directly to your door, people. HSA and FSA funds, you can use those. Flexible payment options, including Klarna, make getting started easier than ever. Visit DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight management and peptides button, and and take the free wellness quiz and take the first step toward feeling like yourself again. Get started right now at DermGlowSkin.com. It hooks the snook. Ladies and gentlemen, hit the music,
hey,
Slim.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, sometimes I land on something in the beautiful video segment that people love, and I got no fewer than five messages about Florian Hutter.
Take a look at those fingertips, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, they're dirty. I got a good chance to watch them now.
And they're hands that just look... I don't know how to describe. They're hands that are not only soft.
Yeah.
But pale.
Pale,
yep.
Unhealthy hands. But what a player.
Yeah.
What a player Florian is.
But if all he's shown is his hands.
Yeah, don't you think that there's a budget in his TikTok account to get a manicure or something?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I want to know what the rest of him looks like.
The plant in the background. Real
yeah.
Or silk?
Silk.
Silk and from mother's house.
Silk plant, everybody.
I happened on this guy's Instagram page, and Mike, we've talked for years about KISS frontman Gene Simmons. And I think we need to throw a little love to Paul Stanley.
I don't think that's necessary, Rob.
But true or false, Gene, that a lot of times the chatter between songs on stage, Paul handles it, right?
Well, I'm busy organizing the business of...
during the concert, though?
I'm constantly multitasking.
I know you need to get ready to spit the blood, you need to get ready to fly, all the things you do.
Paul does a lot of the patter.
This guy focuses on inappropriate stage patter.
Okay.
And this is Paul Stanley from KISS.
I'm obsessed with the stage raps of Paul Stanley from KISS. And I think I found the best one ever. He starts by paying tribute to the victims of the Manchester bombing.
To the children, to the moms and dads, to the husbands and wives of Manchester. To give them a moment of silence.
And then he immediately says,
right, here's a little question. I know the answer. Many girls here like to get licked.
Just 10 out of 10. No notes, star child.
Mike, 10 out of 10. No notes.
That's the segue. That's
and that is your beautiful video.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's
how many
hysterical.
Girls like that? Sure.
Wow. That's quite a segue he made there. All right, everybody. We'll be back with the show tomorrow. We've got Rob and Josh with you on tomorrow's show. Thank you all. Don't forget. It's over. The auction's over now, right?
The auction is over.
Oh, my.
If you want to find out the winner, you're going to have to stay tuned to another episode, and you'll get that info. But somebody is going to dinner. Did we find out whether it's a man or a woman who's going to be dining with Rob?
It is a man who is dining with Rob.
Fantastic. It's Matthew Broderick.
I have it right here. It is Brian Schneider.
Brian, the Bry guy.
We will be back with another episode.
I'm glad it brings you such joy, Mike, because it brings me joy, too.
For Rob Spiewak and Josh Zaroga, this is Michael Merritt saying so long, everybody.
I like you, Brian, but I love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Michael Merritt Show. God. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't. But I sat beside the class clown and I studied him.
Nice beaver.
Sunflower seeds!